Hey guys, Pastor Scott here for another episode of Grow or Die. Hope you're doing well. We are finding myself in my office once again. And currently on Wednesday nights, we're going through the book of Hosea. And so Hosea chapter 2 was my task a couple of Wednesday nights ago. And with that, we didn't get finished. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to record it today and get it put out on our podcast. And I hope that you're enjoying the podcast. I would always tell you that if you wanted to reach out to me at scott@southriverbaptist.com, maybe send something that you would like for us to talk about along with our Bible studies, and we'd love to do that. I'd love to hear from you and hope that these are finding you well and that they are helping you grow in the Word of God. What we say here is, if you're not growing, then you are dying. And so today in Hosea chapter 2, what we're finding is in the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 are all the same, in which you're looking at both the personal life of Hosea along with that of the prophecy that God has given to through Hosea to the children of Israel. Colt has already grabbed chapter 1. And actually, when you get done with chapter 1, what happens is chapter 2, verse 1 really should be incorporated with chapter 1. And so while I'll read chapter 2, verse 1, I am not going to really expound on it, only because what it does is it almost bookends. It shows you where the children of Israel should be. It shows you in the middle of chapter 1 where they are, and it shows you where they could be is if they'll turn back, they'll repent, turn back to that of God. And so what I want to do is I want to read today for you chapter 2, and then we'll come back and then we'll try to grab and break it down and break it apart. I'm reading out of the NET Bible. That's going to be the version I'm in today. And so again, let's just dive and dig in God's Word. Grab your Bible, grab your pen. Let's get started. So Hosea chapter 2, verse 1. Then you will call your brother, my people, Ammi. You will call your sister, Ruhamah. Plead earnestly with your mother, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband, so that she might put an end to her adulterous lifestyle and turn away from her sexually immoral behavior. Otherwise, I will strip her naked and expose her like she was when she was born. I will turn her land into a wilderness and make her country a parched land, so that I might kill her with thirst. I will have no pity on her children, because they are children conceived in adultery. For their mother has committed adultery. She has conceived them, has acted shamefully. And she said, I will seek out my lovers. They are the ones who give me my bread and my water, my wool, my flax, my olive oil, and my wine. Therefore, I will soon fence her in with thorns, and I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. Then she will pursue her lovers, but she will not catch them. She will seek them, but she will not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband, because I was better off than I am now. Verse 8, yet until now, she has refused to acknowledge that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and that it was I who lavished on her the silver and gold, which they used in worship in Baal. Therefore, I will take back my grain during the harvest time and my new wine when it ripens. I will take away my wool and my flax, which I provided in order to clothe her. Soon I will expose her lewd nakedness in front of her lovers, and no one will be able to rescue her from me. I will put an end to all of her celebration, her annual religious festivals, monthly new moon celebrations, a weekly Sabbath festivities, all her appointed festivals. I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, about which she said, these are my wages for prostitution that are my lovers gave to me. I will turn her cultivated vines and fig trees into an uncultivated thicket, so that the wild animals will devour them. I will punish her for the festival days when she burned incense to the Baal idols. She adorned herself with earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but she forgot me, says the Lord. However, this is verse 14, listen. However, in the future, I will allure her. I will lead her back into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. From there, I will give back her vineyards to her and turn the valley of trouble into the opportunity of hope. There she shall sing as she did when she was young, when she came up from the land of Egypt. And at that time, declares the Lord, you will call my husband. You will call my husband. You'll never again call me my master. For I will remove the names of Baal idols from your lips so that you will never again utter their names. And at that time, I will make a covenant for them with the wild animals, the birds of the air, the creatures that crawl on the ground. I will abolish the warrior's bow and sword, that is, every weapon of warfare from the land. And I will allow them to live securely. I will commit myself to you forever. I will commit myself to you in righteousness and justice and steadfast love and tender compassion. I will commit myself to you in faithfulness. Then you will acknowledge the Lord. And at that time, I will willingly respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the sky, and the sky will respond to the ground, and then the ground will respond to the grain, the new wine, and the olive oil, and they will respond to God plants, Jezreel, which means good. Then I will plant her as my own in the land, and I will pity on no pity, Lo Roma, and I will say to not my people, Lo Ami, you are my people, and he will say, you are my God. So we go back, and what happens when you start back in verse 1, there's this cycle of sin, and what takes place here is if you'll look, he says this, ready? So he walks through Hosea, chapter 1, you see that cycle take place. You get in chapter 2, you see that cycle take place. You see this cycle take place back in the Judges. You see this cycle take place all through the Old Testament scriptures. Listen, we see this cycle take place in our lives today. I told the youth group, I said, it's kind of like this. It's strange. We'll go to a summer camp. Man, we'll get so jacked up for Jesus and we'll get so high on our mountain. But then as soon as we come home, we take our eyes back off God and we begin to put our eyes back on our idols. And within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, if it's that long, man, we're right back where we was at, right back in the world, right back, you know, just letting God be in our hip pocket, just letting God be our side man, our homeboy, whatever you want to call him. I would tell you he's Lord. And what happens is we take our eyes off of him and we begin to be an adulterer within our relationship. And that's what's happening here. You've got two things playing out here. You've got Hosea, yes, talking to Gomer, but you've also got God speaking to the children of Israel. And in this, he says, verse 2, plead earnestly with your mother. Basically, what you're doing here is you're seeing something. It's not just, hey, let it be known. It's more of a shouting because of why. Well, I take my Bible and I go to Isaiah. Just listen here. You ready? Isaiah 58 is a great picture of where they were there in Hosea's day. You remember they would have prophesied around the same time as well. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Listen what the Bible says. Shout loudly. See, that's that plead earnestly. Shout loudly. Don't be quiet. Yell as loud as a trumpet. Confront my people with their rebellious deeds. Confront Jacob's family with their sin. We're to call sin, sin. We're to confront it. We're to shout from the rooftops. Why? Well, because we know what James 1 says. James 1 tells us that the path to that of sin, the ultimate end is death. And you and I, we as an individual, we should want that on no one, especially not a brother or sister in Christ. And so in Psalm 58, that's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, wake up, shout loudly, even to the point when he gets to Romans chapter 1. I'm not going to turn there. You can, though. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 25, you're going to find where God is pleading there in Romans as well, to the point that he's pulling them back. He's pulling them back and he's saying, listen, no, wake up, wake up. Don't go over the rapids only for people to go, no, I don't want you, God. And God just to allow you to go in the direction that you wanted to go, only to find yourself, if it be possible, to wake up to your sinful ways and be able to repent, turn away from, if that's given the opportunity. Sin is dangerous. Sin destroys both you and everyone that's associated around you. And so many times we get lost on that. We get lost on the self, and that's not what takes place. Because what you ready? So you get this cycle of sin that's talked about, and what he does, you get to verse 2, and he says, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. so that she might put an end to her adulterous lifestyle. It's your job to do that. It was Israel's job to put a stop to what was the nonsense, because why? And turn away from her sexually immoral behavior. It was sexually immoral. And the fact that, you ready? Is that they was now loving their idols. They were loving their worldly lust, and they had turned their back on God. God was nothing more than just a convenient token for them. And so what happens is you would go back to Romans 1, and in verse 26, it says that God handed them over, and then we see, man, where that handing over went. It starts out with sexual sin, women lying with women and men lying with men, only to see that it continues to go even further and further and further south. Because why? Well, because our eyes are off of God. Our eyes are on that of this adulterous lifestyle that God is saying, stop, come back. Verse 3, otherwise I will strip her naked, and God will. Listen to me. Just like he did for the children of Israel, is just like he would do for you and I today. Because we cannot be so soon forgotten that in Hebrews, my Bible says that he chastens the ones that he loves. He corrects the ones that he loves. What father would never discipline his children? That's a father that is being a derelict. He's not loving his children. We ought to be, as parents, we ought to be parents that are disciplining our children. Now listen, you ready? I'm not saying beat them. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is discipline them. When they do wrong, we teach them what is right. Man, I'm going to tell you, as a student pastor, man, I talk to a lot of families, and I get bewildered when I ask people, so were you disciplined when you were raised? Yeah, oh yeah. And then I would say, well, are you disciplining your children? Well, no, we're going to raise them different. And then I'll go, well, how did you turn out? And they'd go, well, we turned out pretty good. And then I would say, well, why would you do it differently? And what happens here is God is saying, listen, I'm going to expose you, because he says in verse 3, otherwise I will strip her naked, and I will expose her like she was when she was born. I will turn her land into a wilderness, and I, listen, make her country a parched land so that I might kill her with her thirst. What God is wanting them to do is God's wanting them to turn back. We'll see later on, alluring them. He's wooing them. And the fact that, why? Well, because he loves them. He's a father that truly and genuinely loves his children, just like he does for you and I today. Verse 24, I will have no pity on her children, because they are the children conceived in adultery. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, if you take your Bibles and you was go, and I'm going to flip. If you go to Numbers chapter 14, and in Numbers 14, there's a very familiar passage here that we would have learned if we were in church anytime whatsoever. And in Numbers chapter 14, listen to what my Bible says. If you remember, there was a time where the children of Israel, they were getting ready to come into the promised land. God sent them out to spy on the land. They come back. And when they come back, there's only two that says, let's keep going forward. And the other 10 would come back and go, we can't do this. And because of their lack of, because they cannot do it, or because of their lack of faith, then what they do is, it says in verse 29, your dead bodies will fall in his wilderness, and all of those of you who were numbered according to their full number from 20 years old and upward who have murmured against me. So what happened was, is because that took place, then whenever you and I got ready to, or whenever they got ready to begin to go into the promised land, God says, no, because of your lack of faith, then therefore everyone 20 years old and older is going to die in the wilderness. Everyone younger, y'all will be going into the promised land. Here, though, what God is saying is, he's saying, no, not even the children are going to be left untouched. Because what he's saying, not only the mother being Israel, but all the children of Israel, everyone that's involved, that's everyone, because of their adulterous ways because of their lack of, and even to the point that I read somewhere that it would say that just because someone, because someone would say, well, did everyone, was everyone sinning or did everyone turn their back? No. But I will say this, that sometimes God's punishment falls on those that would, you claim good, those the good and the bad, I guess if you want to say it that way. Because of why? Well, because the punishment is the same. It says this in Psalm 58. Listen to what it says. Psalm 58, verse 3. My Bible says, hold on a second, let's see. Verse 1, chapter 58. Do you rulers really pronounce just decisions? Do you judge people fairly? No, you plan how to do what is unjust and you deal out violence in the earth. See, man, that is how man operates. God works this way. The wicked turn aside from birth. Liars go astray as soon as they are born. Their venom is like that of a snake and like a deaf serpent that does not hear, that does not respond to the magicians or to the skilled snake charmer. Oh God, break the teeth in their mouths. Smash the jawbones in the of the lions. Oh Lord. Basically, wake them up. Bring them to, because why? Well, verse 5 says, for their mother, Israel, has committed the adultery, and she's conceived because of the leaders of Israel, because of their leaders, because of the religious leaders, because of their lack of keeping people turned. No. Look to God. No, look to God. Look to God. Because of that, then therefore, those children that was conceived in this as well will be judged also. He says this, verse 5, she who conceived them has acted shamefully, for she said, now watch this, I'll show you the wickedness here. And listen, we as believers, now hear what I'm saying, we as believers, when we take our eyes off Christ and we begin to fulfill the desires of the flesh, we too are just like this. Watch what he does. For she said, I will seek out my lovers. Isn't it strange how we, as believers, there's days where because of our lack of being in the Word, because of our too much time on our hands, because my grandma would say, an idle mind is a devil's playground, because we've lost focus, then what happens is we begin to seek out the things that fulfill the flesh. And here, what God is exposing in the children of Israel, what Hosea is exposing in that of Gomer, is that, you ready? They were going and they were seeking out, they were intentionally looking for these lovers to commit this adultery, to commit this sexual sin that they were committing. And that is, listen, you ready? Worshiping the false idols. That was the sin. They were turning their back on God. I started looking up this seeking out. And what happens is it took me over to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, let me turn over there. Acts 7, my Bible says this. Listen to this. And this is just scripture from the Old Testament that was repeated by that of Stephen before he was getting ready to be stoned. And that's with a rock. I guess I have to say that these days. Listen, ready? Verse 48. Or I said, let's do verse 51 of chapter 7 of Acts. You stubborn people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are always resisting the Holy Spirit like your ancestors did. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold long ago the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You received the law by decrees given by angels, but you did not obey it. Then it says, they gnashed their teeth and they took stones, big rocks, and they would have crushed Stephen. They would have stoned Stephen because Stephen would have called out to them just like what verse 2 says, just like what your preacher does on a Sunday morning, if he's any preacher whatsoever. And that is the earnest plead of, hey, stop, stop what you're doing. But we continue to seek after. So there was intention in their straying away from God. It wasn't that it just happened. Sin don't just happen. No, we intentionally seek after it. He says this. He says, they are the ones, listen to this, who give me my bread and my water. So the reason why they're going to these false idols is because the adulterer, all right, Gomer, or that of the children of Israel, they would say it's these false idols, these lovers all right, of the worldly pleasures, that's what's giving me my food. And the sad part is God's going to show him in a minute, no, you've lost sight. You've lost your mind. They're the ones that give me my wool. That's the false idols, the false lovers, my flax and my olive oil and my wine. Now watch what God does here. God is now bringing Israel back. He's telling them, hey, this is how it's going to happen. Therefore, I will soon, see, it's going to happen. I will soon fence her in with thorns and I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. Strange, huh? Listen to this. I'm going to flip over. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 5. I love this passage when I found it. Isaiah 5. My Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 5. He says, now I will inform you what I'm about to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge and turn it into a pasture, and I will break its wall and allow animals to graze there. I will make it a wasteland. So what he's doing is in here, he's doing the opposite. Here, what he's doing is he's saying, listen, I'm going to bring her back, but the way I'm going to bring her back is I'm going to cut it off. I'm going to cut off all of the pleasures, almost to the point that it takes you to the point where Jesus says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. We'll see that later on whenever we get into verse 17. But here what we're finding is he says this. He says, listen, then she will pursue her lovers, but she will not catch them. Why? Because God has blinded them. God has really opened their eyes. She will seek them, but she will not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband because I was better off when I am now than I am now. And you write in your Bible there, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Why do I write that? Well, the reason why I write that is because that's the parable the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. And that is here. He goes off. He lives a disastrous lifestyle, a lifestyle that was nothing but full of worldly pleasures, only to find himself in a pigsty, all right, waking up one morning and going, man, my dad and his servants, my dad's servants have got it better than I do. I'm going to go back home. And that's exactly what he does. That's exactly what God wants for his children, the children of Israel as well. That's exactly what God would want for you and me. Yet until now, she has refused to acknowledge that I was the one. Up until this, still refuses to acknowledge it. And he would tell us, like in Ephesians chapter 5, here's where it's the wake up. Wake up, because God is the giver of all. God is our strong refuge. God is the one that's the one that gives all that is of need. Remember, it is God that gives to the sparrow, and he gives to the flowers. God is the one that provides our needs, not the world. And so when we come and we sit down and we eat our food, we should be giving thanks to God. When we're done eating our food, we should give thanks to God. When we're buying our food, we should give thanks to God. Even though the prices are like out the roof, we still should be giving thanks to God. Because he walks through and he says, listen, verse 9, therefore, I will take back my grain during the harvest time. God says, I'm just going to cut it off. I'll show you that it ain't your idols that's giving it to you. Verse 10, soon I'll expose her lewd nakedness in front of her lovers. I'm going to show them that, you ready? That I am their God, and you ready? And that I do love them. And if I have to do this, this is how I'm going to do it. Verse 11, I will put an end to all of her celebrations. There'll be no more festivals. There'll be no more Sabbaths. Because why? Because they're going to be put in captivity. I will destroy her vines, her fig trees. Because why? Because there are my wages for prostitution that my lovers gave to me. What's going to happen is God's going to remind them, according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, he's a jealous God. He's a God that longs, not that he needs it. He longs for our worship. He longs to hear from his children. Verse 12, continue on. I will turn her cultivated vines and fig trees into an uncultivated thicket. I will punish her for the festival days when she burned incense to Baal idols. Turned her back completely on God. Begin to worship false gods. Now listen, you ready? Can I tell you, they didn't get there overnight, y'all. That they did not. And I use this analogy, and I use it with much love. So please don't take it anything for other than what it is. They always say, I have one, and I've got one in my backyard, but it's nothing more than like a little John boat. They say the best days of a boater's life is the day that they buy it and the day they sell it. But I will tell you this. Have you ever noticed that it's when someone goes and buys something such as that? It could be a camper, it could be a horse, it could be a four-wheeler, a side-by-side, I don't care what you do. But isn't it strange how it starts out with being, no, this is just what I do on Saturdays, to being finding out, like I would have said to them, man, the water's a lot less traveled on Sundays. So then you're like, you know what, we'll go this Sunday, only to find out that whatever it was that we was had no intention for it to take the place of that of our God or that of the day of worship or that of the, now it is, it's our life. Hey, it does not happen overnight. It takes, like the song would be, a slow fade. And so what happens is he tells them in verse 14, and I love this, and I'm going to read something to you if you'll allow me to do it. However, in the future, and I love this because this is the promise. This is the hope. This is my God. This is your God if you're a believer. Because listen, my God is always there. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to restore. He's ready to put you back where you need to be, much like the vineyard, the vine dresser in the vineyard. However, in the future, I will allure her. I will lead her back into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. From there, I will give back her vineyards to her. Instead of it being a valley of trouble, it's going to be an opportunity for hope. There she will sing as she did when she was young and when she came up from the land of Egypt. So they had so turned their back on God. I love what Spurgeon said about this. I will allure her. Listen to what he says. This is a singular kind of power. I will allure her. Not I will drive her, not even I will draw her, or I will drag her, or I will force her. No, I will allure her. It is a very remarkable word, and it teaches us that the allurement of love surpasses in all power all other forces. It's God drawing them with his love. This is how the devil ruins us. He tempts us with the honeyed words, the sweet utterances, with the baits of pleasure and the like, And the Lord in mercy determines that in all truthfulness, he will outbid the devil. He will win us to himself by fascinations, enticements, and allurements, which shall be stronger than any force of resistance we may offer. This is a wonderfully precious word. I will allure her. I will draw her to me. And the only way that I could look at that, and I could even put that into words would be this. It would be when I was first starting dating my bride, Melanie. And in that, there was the alluring of her. There was giving her gifts, sending her notes, calling her on the phone, because she didn't know me from Adam. But it was through that eventually there would be what? There would be that love, and then there would be that, oh, that engagement. Oh, that's right. And then that marriage, to where now the two have become one. That's God, y'all, looking at his children and saying, listen, I'm going to bring you back, but I'm going to do it with much love. And at that time, because of this allurement, because of God's love being so strong, because of him being the what? The good husband. Listen, not master. There's a difference there between husband and master. That's in verse 16. They're going to declare that the Lord is their husband, and he's one that loves them unconditionally. That's what Hosea is to Gomer. Not a master. Listen, any marriage that is any marriage worth at all, that's biblical, the husband is not the master. The husband should be seen as the one that loves his bride as Christ loves the church, unconditionally. And that's what God has shown to them. And because of the love that God shows to them to be so strong, then what they do is whenever any words of false idols comes to their lips, they don't even let it come out of their mouths. They don't even let it be uttered. They put it, because of God's love and God's alluring of them, God takes all of that out of their mouth. Just like what I was telling you in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30, that's where Jesus would say, if it's your hand, then cut it off. If it's your eyeball, pluck it out. Whatever's causing you to turn away from God as a believer, do it. Now, we know that's figurative, but man, y'all listen, maybe it is taking and cutting the power cord on the gaming system. Maybe it is going to a flip phone. Maybe it is getting someone to help you as an accountability. Whatever it is, God wants your, man, God wants, and listen, not wants, God desires your worship. Not just Sunday. This is a daily thing. This is a walk with Him. And at that time, I will make a covenant for them. And this is the future. This is a new covenant with the wild animals and the birds of the air and the creatures. And I will abolish the warrior's bow, and that is every weapon of warfare from the land. God's going to restore them. Notice His commitments, verse 19. I will commit myself to you forever. That's a husband. I will commit myself to you in righteousness and justice, in steadfast love and tender compassion. I would underline those because that's the truth of God's word. That's who my God is. That's who your God is. And then He says, and I will commit. There's three times. I will commit myself to you in faithfulness. Then you will acknowledge. You're going to know. I underlined the word acknowledge, and I wrote the word know underneath it. You will acknowledge the Lord. And at that time, I will willingly respond, declares the Lord. I will respond. John 15, verse 7. Listen to this. Ready? I'm going the wrong way. Got excited. John 15. Listen to what He said. Love John 15. I want to read it to you. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. Notice that's what happens here. And at that time, I will willingly respond. God's going to respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the sky and the sky will respond to the ground. And then the ground will respond to the grain and the new wine and the olive oil. All of those things that God was already providing to them, God removed it from them. Now their love for God is so great and so genuine and true that God says, I will hear your prayers. And no longer will Jezreel be a valley, because that word Jezreel could be used in two ways. Here it's not trouble, now it's good. This is going to be God's plants, God's given to His children. And then He says, and then I will plant her as my own in the land, and I will have pity on no pity. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And He will say, you are my God. And guys, listen, that's God's restoration. And that's what God wants here. God wants to restore the children of Israel back to where God would say He wants them to be different. Much like what Peter would say, you and I as believers, we're a chosen priesthood. We're a royal priesthood, one that should be set apart, to be special, something different about us and the way that we live our lives. Because why? Because He's our God. And you ready? And He wants to love us in that way as well. I close with this. Listen to this. Ready? Matthew. Let me turn over there. Matthew chapter 6. Here we go. Listen to what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. The Bible says this. He says, but above all, pursue His kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So then, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough trouble of its own. That's my God. That's your God if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And what He wants to do is He wants to be the provider, the one that you look to daily, the one that you would, as 1 Thessalonians would say, pray without ceasing, the one that Ephesians chapter 5 would say, verse 17 and 18, that you and I worship Him, we praise Him through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord, and be thankful for all things, all the time be thankful. Why? Because that's our God. God is a good Father. He's our husband. And what we need to do today is we need to keep our eyes on Him. And if you're someone that has taken your eyes off of Him, much like a Peter would have been there and he would begin to sink, I will tell you, cry out to God. Turn back to God, because He's there. He's like the dad waiting on the front porch for the prodigal son. And you and I, as we're turning back, He's already coming to meet us. That's the God of Israel. That's the God of Abraham. That's the God that, you ready? That sent his son to die for you and for me. He's the one that desires our worship. So may it be so. Hope to find you next. We'll be in Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. But again, let's get in the Word. If you're not growing, you're dying. See ya.